The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Abortion politics. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast as protests continue over an upcoming Supreme Court decision. Attorney General Merrick Garland has now instructed the U.S. Marshals to provide security to those justices who could overturn Roe v. Wade next month. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand hopes they don't.
If this ruling goes into effect, more than half of the American population will immediately become second-class citizens.
Pro-choice protesters have been picketing for days now outside the homes of six Republican-appointed justices in Maryland and Virginia. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin says it needs to stop.
We've asked Attorney General Garland to enforce the law and to make sure that demonstrators are not allowed to try to intimidate justices like they're trying to do. It's clearly in the federal statute that this is wrong, and the Attorney General needs to enforce it.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the Democrat-controlled U.S. Senate failed yesterday to pass a measure to federalize abortion rights. West Virginia's Joe Manchin said the effort to codify Roe was too extreme.
Make no mistake, it is not Roe v. Wade codification. It's an expansion. It wipes 500 state laws off the books. It expands abortion. That's not where we are today. We should not be dividing this country further than we're already divided.
Manchin says the Women's Health Protection Act would have allowed unlimited abortion up to the moment of birth. Still, some Democrats think abortion is an issue that'll help turn out the vote for them in the midterm.
Today, we start the march towards the November elections.
Dr. Kevin Roberts at the Heritage Foundation thinks the abortion issue will help Republicans, not Democrats.
Overturning Roe is pro-woman, pro-baby, pro-dad. It's pro-America. I think the more we're actually on our side, going to see this be a net positive.
The U.S. justices are meeting at the High Court today for the first time since that draft opinion on Roe was leaked last week. A final decision on abortion rights expected in June. Another day, another record high at the gas pump. The national average now $4.42 a gallon. That's forced this motorist to alter her driving habits.
I'm trying to be very mindful of my errands. If I can walk to a hardware store, I will do that. I'm getting in my 10,000 steps more often than I planned.
Former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway says the day her former boss left office, gas was averaging $2.39 a gallon. Today, it's more than $2 more than that.
You know what I hear from people all the time? They don't just say, we're America, we're resilient, we'll look forward, it will get better, we're optimistic and hopeful. They say, it was better not that long ago, and I want that back.
Californians are paying the most for gas, an eye-popping $5.85 a gallon. The cheapest in Kansas, $3.98 right now. In New York, it's $4.63 on average, $4.57 in Pennsylvania. The inflation crisis continues to weigh heavily on the minds of voters. Former Trump economic advisor Larry Kudlow.
President Biden should really start to own this problem. I mean, the blame game doesn't work. You're in an emergency inflation crisis. And so you've got to start taking emergency action.
Former McDonald's CEO Ed Renzi says higher prices and supply chain issues cannot be blamed on overseas crises like the war in Europe.
The shortages we have in the United States have nothing to do with Ukraine and that war. You talk about his executive orders when he first became president, when he shut down the oil and gas industry exploration because of the new Green Deal.
The president admitted to donors at a fundraising event last night near Chicago that inflation is starting to, quote, scare voters, his words. The president marking a grim milestone today in the fight against COVID.
1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table, each irreplaceable, each leaving behind a family, a community, forever changed because of this pandemic.
In a pre-recorded speech from the White House, Mr. Biden announced that federal buildings will be lowering their flags to half-staff today in honor of the 1 million American lives lost to COVID. Last year set a record for drug overdose deaths in this country. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says the nationwide epidemic is being fueled by lax drug laws and a porous southern border.
Because of Chinese and Mexican drug cartel cooperation, flooding our country with this deadly synthetic drug, fentanyl, we have once again set a sad, sad record in overdose deaths in this country.
Fentanyl, now the leading cause of death of Americans ages 18 to 45. John Ellis is a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in California.
This is the nuclear bomb of drugs. This is 50 times more powerful than morphine. It's 100 times more powerful than heroin. It is an absolute crisis that we're dealing with.
The CDC says there were more than 107,000 drug-related fatalities last year. The U.S. House will be holding hearings soon on the alarming baby formula shortage across this country. Lawmakers want the FDA to do something and do it fast. Abbott Labs in Michigan, one of the nation's largest producers of baby formula, says it'll be another 8 to 10 weeks before operations are back to normal.
This is a national emergency, and this should be our government's top priority right now. This isn't just food or a snack. Babies need formula which helps them to thrive. It helps with growth and development. They need these critical nutrients for nourishment for their bodies.
Dr. Jeanette Neshwat is a pediatrician from New York and thinks the president may need to invoke the Defense Production Act to make sure that infants have the nutrition they need. Wildfire season often running out west, high winds and drought fueling the flames in Laguna Beach, California.
It's not looking good. Every other house is on fire on one side of the street, and then it jumped across the street and started burning other houses.
Multi-million dollar mansions tucked in the mountains are smoldering ruins today as coastal brush fires spiral out of control. Reporter Dina Demetrius is in Laguna Beach.
At least two dozen homes have been destroyed here, and we still see flames burning inside some of them.
Those homes were destroyed within minutes in a gated community in Orange County.
I'm in disbelief right now, and I can just, when things could happen in an instant, it's unbelievable.
The inferno started as a small brush fire Wednesday afternoon. Firefighters say on one street alone, over a dozen homes exploded in flames within minutes. Overseas, Ukrainian fighters have driven Russian forces back to their own border in fresh skirmishes near Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city.
Ukraine reclaiming five villages there, and Russia has now reportedly withdrawn units from that city to reorganize.
That's Matt Finn of Fox News.
A Ukrainian deputy of chief armed forces says he thinks Russia is concentrating efforts in eastern and southern Ukraine because Putin plans to try to retake Kyiv and this entire country.
In Mariupol, meantime, hundreds of Ukrainian Marines remain trapped in the ruins of a steel mill. They are the last line of defense in that shattered southern port city. Astronomers have just unveiled the first image of something we have never seen before in the Milky Way galaxy.
It's out of this world. Astronomers, including Faria Ozell with the University of Arizona, have revealed the first image of a massive black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
This image shows a bright ring surrounding the darkness, the telltale sign of the shadow of the black hole.
The discovery was made possible by more than 300 researchers from more than 80 institutions working with eight different telescopes around the world.
Jim Crisula reporting still to come on the Noon Report. The Great Lakes wind turbine debate. Why do Republicans fear Doug Mastriano and the unhittable high school pitcher from Elmira?
Well, good afternoon to all. The warm, dry weather continues, but changes arrive for the weekend. Forecast details are coming up in 10.
All right, see you then. Thanks, Kevin. Things are getting interesting in the Republican race for governor in Pennsylvania. The GOP frontrunner is State Senator Doug Mastriano, but many in the Republican Party question his electability come the fall.
So you don't think he can be Shapiro?
I would never say never.
That is Pennsylvania State Senator Dan Laughlin, who hinted to Newswatch 16 that Mastriano may be too conservative to mount an effective campaign in the general election. Mastriano says he revels in the role of underdog.
So many people have, you know, downplayed our movement and kind of ridiculed it and thought it wasn't possible. And now they're like, oh, crap, he's going to really win this primary.
With 5 days to go till the primary, Senate President Jake Corman today dropped out of the race for a second time and is supporting former Congressman Lou Barletta.
I called Lou yesterday, told him it was his last chance to get out of the race and support me. didn't quite go that way.
All joking aside, Corman is confident that Barletta stands the best chance at defeating the Democratic nominee in November.
Republicans have lost four of the last five governor races. And the only way I think that we will not be successful in the fall is if we stay divided and nominate someone that can't possibly win in the fall.
Meantime, Senate Majority Leader Kim Ward's endorsed political newcomer Dave White. Ward says White has the best chance of defeating Josh Shapiro in November. New York Governor Kathy Hochul's agreed to take part in two debates before the June primary. Those debates will happen June 7th and 16th. Hochul's being challenged in the Democratic primary by Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi and New York City public advocate Jamani Williams. It's a district without a representative, and it's unclear when New York's Southern Tier will get one in Congress.
Republicans in New York's sprawling 23rd Congressional District are weighing who will be their nominee in an upcoming special election. The district, which covers 11 counties in the Southern Tier from Jamestown to Binghamton and north toward Rochester, is currently without representation in Congress. Republican Tom Reed abruptly resigned on Tuesday after 12 years in office. Some names that have been mentioned as Reed's successors include former State Senator Kathy Young and Steuben County GOP Chairman Joe Cempulinski. It's up to Governor Hochul to announce the date for that special election. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. New York's Attorney General Tish James warning retailers not to take part in any price gouging of baby formula. There is a national shortage and retailers are limiting purchases. James says any business that's found guilty of price gouging will be punished. The fight continues to keep wind turbines out of the Great Lakes. Protesters gathered along the Lake Erie shoreline in Hamburg yesterday. Sharon Lundberg says those turbines are an eyesore.
The beauty of Lake Erie and the Great Lakes, you cannot do this to the Great Lakes. If one gets out there, they're not going to stop. We have to stop it now.
Up to 50 towering turbines could pop up soon out of Lake Erie a couple miles offshore.
And if we let them get 50 from here to Dunkirk, that's just setting precedent. It'll be 100.
Each turbine is anywhere from 500 to 1,000 feet high. Congressman Chris Jacobs is taking action at the federal level to try and preserve the Great Lakes. Police in DeWitt, New York, near Syracuse, investigating a bizarre death yesterday. A male jogger killed after being struck in the road by a forklift. The driver of the forklift says he did not see the jogger, who was wearing headphones and could not hear that vehicle coming toward him. The man was running on the shoulder of the road when he was struck by a large industrial front loader that was moving supplies. A pitcher from Elmira, New York, is making waves on the high school sports scene. Remember this name. Owen Stewart at Elmira Notre Dame threw his third no-hitter of the season this week in a game against Waverly. Crusaders head coach Brad Bellinger.
It's unbelievable, honestly. I thought to myself on the drive here, I was like, you know, I know Owen's a really good pitcher, but we're going to see what he's made about today. And I honestly think we have the best weapon in the state. He's been great for us this year.
Three no-nos in 1 year. How about that? Stewart, who's committed to play next season at George Mason University, struck out 12 Waverly batters to help his team win their league title this week. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Let's check your Thursday midday sports next, and we're going to start with NBA playoff action. The Memphis Grizzlies are not going down without a fight. They obliterate the Golden State Warriors Game 5 in Memphis without their star Ja Morant. The Warriors still lead that series 3-2. In Boston last night, Milwaukee guard Drew Holiday stripped the Defensive Player of the Year Marcus Smart in the waning seconds as the Celtics lose Game 5 to Milwaukee. The Bucks are up 3-2 in that best-of-seven series. NHL playoffs, the New York Rangers avoid elimination. 5-3 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. They still trail that series 3-2. Florida came back from a 3-goal deficit to beat the Capitals. The Panthers now up in that series. And Calgary defending home ice with a victory over the Dallas Stars. On the diamond, Gleyber Torres drove in all five runs as the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 5-3 in the Bronx at 22-8. The New York Yankees have the best record in baseball right now. Cleveland and Chicago had their game postponed last night, but it had nothing to do with the weather. Multiple players within the Guardians organization testing positive for COVID. This is the first time the virus has interfered with big league baseball this season. Weather was the reason why last night's game between the Astros and Twins was suspended. Stormy weather at Target Field in Minneapolis. They'll resume that game in the fourth inning today. Other scores last night: Mets fall to the Nats. The Braves split a pair with the Bo Sox. Tampa beats the Angels in extra innings. The Pirates and Cubbies also picking up the W. Time to start circling dates on the fall calendar. The 2022 NFL schedule will be released tonight. All 32 teams from around the league will find out when and where they'll play. The defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams have the toughest strength of schedule heading into the football season. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report, Biden blames the MAGA King. Manchin tanks abortion bill, and wildfire season starts early out west.
As addictions are on the rise across the United States, the real question is, how do we help people who are addicted? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A friend of mine has faced severe back pain for decades. Finally, surgeons took a remarkable step, implanting a device that sends electrical signals to his spinal cord in order to disrupt the pain signals traveling to his brain. For the most part, it's been successful. His pain has dramatically lessened. This was an incredible help for my friend. After all, pain's job is to tell us that something is wrong. His condition was never going to change, so the pain no longer served a purpose. The more our knowledge of the human brain increases, the more breakthrough treatments like this are possible. But some, such as treating addiction with brain surgery, are more controversial than others. As World News recently reported, a new study at West Virginia University's Rockefeller Neuroscience Institute is utilizing deep brain stimulation in an attempt to counteract addictive cravings. Surgeons insert a tiny thin wire into the brain's tissue. This allows them to read the parts of the brain that light up when the patient craves a high. Combined with additional medication, counseling, lifestyle changes, the treatment seems to have been successful in early trials. As with all technological innovations, all of our optimism should also come with a healthy side dose of caution. See, unlike back pain, addiction involves more than just a person's neurology. It involves relationships, lifestyle choices, sense of self-worth, spirituality, and identity. That's one reason certain addictions, such as opioids, are so difficult to fight or overcome. The chemical forces at work can easily outmatch the human brain. Illegal opiates kill, on average, 100,000 Americans a year. The societal and personal damage is incalculable. Given the powerful chemical forces stacked in favor of addiction, it just makes sense to enlist science on the side of the human brain. After all, if we can zap our brains out of addictive behavior, why wouldn't we? Well, the answer is that any theory of treatment that treats only the physical and medical side of a person at the expense of the moral, interpersonal, spiritual, and cultural side misunderstands the human person. Of course, an increasingly dominant form of materialism reduces the human person down in exactly this way. Faced with complicated problems of human nature, like poverty or crime or addiction, it's tempting to grasp for explanations that rob people of moral agency. Poverty, in this view, is the result of generational difficulties, class discrimination, racial inequities, but never of the choices of the people involved. Addiction is genetic, a result of chemical dependence in the brain, and nothing more. Now, to be clear, empathy, compassion, and care for those in poverty, prison, or addiction is not optional, and there are powerful environmental factors that weigh into these conditions. What we cannot do, however, is reduce people down, as a naturalistic worldview always tends to do, to only their brains when we treat them as if they aren't moral creatures, as if they don't have the freedom to act. We don't merely dehumanize them, we will fail to adequately help them. You see, the problem with poverty, especially in the first world, is rarely just a lack of money. That's why a significant percentage of lottery winners end up filing bankruptcy within a few years. People are not reducible to only their material selves, their brains, their traits, their circumstances. Real treatment requires moral commitment and a strong network of spiritual and relational support. Gerald Buchalter, an early recipient of this deep brain stimulation to overcome addiction, understands this better than most. After his surgery 2 years ago, Buchalter committed to counseling, accountability, and other support systems. As he told reporters back in February, when it comes to staying sober, it's just as important as the surgery. If neurostimulation does prove helpful, and I hope it does, it still will not replace a worldview change so that people can see themselves as image bearers and moral agents. Neither people nor their addictions are reducible to just one thing. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint.
Our weather win streak continues. How much longer will it last? Let's find out with Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Sunshine and a little bit of haze from some high altitude smoke. It'll be warm. High temperatures mostly at or above 80 away from the lake, 60s near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. And then for tonight, moonlit skies, low in the 50s, mild. Tomorrow, some sunshine in the 70s to near 80. Variably cloudy, more humid Saturday. A couple showers around. High temperatures in the 70s. Risk of some showers and rumbles for some on Sunday.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price, and thanks for checking in. Here's what's happening this Thursday, the 12th of May. New York's Attorney General issuing a consumer alert today about the nationwide shortage of baby food formula.
Letitia James is warning parents to be aware of dramatic price hikes for baby formula amid the national shortage. She says she's seeing instances online and wants to hear from consumers who've been victimized. The Attorney General is reminding retailers that price gouging is illegal. She's also urging parents to call their pediatricians before watering down baby formula or trying to make their own. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
The West is on fire. Million-dollar mansions burned to the ground last night as a fast-moving wildfire ravaged Orange County, California. NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
Within minutes, some two dozen multi-million dollar estates were incinerated in the gated hills near famed Laguna Beach.
Seems like a war zone out here.
Fueled by a dangerous combination of powerful 30-mile-an-hour ocean winds and bone-dry drought conditions, this inferno only torched some 200 acres, but it moved at breakneck speed.
On one street alone, more than a dozen homes were lost. The whipping winds and drought conditions acted like gasoline on those fires. President Biden continues to blame the COVID pandemic, Vladimir Putin, and congressional Republicans for sky-high inflation. Here's what he said near Chicago yesterday.
Under my predecessor, the great MAGA King, the deficit increased every single year he was president.
But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says this is all on Democrats.
They took an economy that was ready to soar, turned it around, and drove it into the ground.
Media critic Joe Concha says when it comes to the economy, President Biden broke it and now he owns it.
This is the buck stops with everyone else and everywhere else administration, right? And this is a president currently at, what, 33% approval in Quinnipiac, and he continually blames the party that isn't in power.
Correspondent Tom Costello says inflation has become entrenched in our everyday lives.
We see it at the gas station, the grocery store, buying airline tickets, but core inflation, which excludes food and energy, is still accelerating. That's putting new pressure on the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve to get inflation under control without pushing the economy into recession.
The president today marked a million U.S. COVID deaths. In a pre-recorded speech from the White House, he ordered flags at federal buildings lowered to half staff in honor of the lives lost. Infectious disease expert Dr. David Agus.
The hope now is that through the vaccinations that are doing well, but not as well as they should, that the therapeutics we have now, that is the antibodies and the drugs like Paxlovid, is that we'll see significantly less in terms of deaths and hospitalizations.
Over 300 Americans are still dying every day from COVID. A nationwide lockdown has been imposed in communist North Korea as the reclusive regime admits for the first time that it too has COVID.
A population of around 25 million people, and until now, zero official COVID-19 cases. So it's significant that North Korea is confirming this at all. And even though the North has resisted offers of outside pandemic support, leader Kim Jong-un claims the country has medical supplies stockpiled.
Alex Jensen reporting. West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin has tanked Democrats' hopes of making abortion a national right. His no vote yesterday helped defeat the Women's Health Protection Act.
The motion is not agreed to.
The failed effort comes as the U.S. Supreme Court gets set to rule on an abortion case next month that could unravel Roe v. Wade. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today it will be Roe. Tomorrow it will be a national ban on abortion. And beyond that,
something even more dreadful. We cannot allow this shameful backslide to happen. We cannot allow the whims of MAGNA Republicans to bully the rest of the country into submission.
Dr. Kevin Roberts at the Heritage Foundation says the Senate bill to codify Roe would have opened the floodgates to abortion on demand at all stages of pregnancy.
Americans understand the radicalism of this pro-abortion agenda, which, remember, in California would actually have someone be aborted 1 week after they're out of the womb. It's murder. And the more that our side can talk about that reality, the more we're going to see this be a net positive.
There are seven states currently, including California and New York, that have absolutely no limits on abortion rights. Meantime, protests are growing louder outside the homes of the Supreme Court justices who will ultimately decide this issue next month.
So what do you do next?
Well, next we just start campaigning like crazy.
I think it needs to be a drumbeat.
As crowds continue to gather near some of the justices' homes, state and local law enforcement agencies are issuing awareness reports that demonstrations may become flashpoints for violence with little to no warning.
Correspondent Scott McFarland, you're plugged into the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on Family Life.
Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Latrice Booker, director of Hope Pregnancy Center in Philadelphia. Would you tell us about the services you offer?
Yes. Here at Hope Pregnancy Center, located in Philadelphia, we offer, first and foremost, hope. It's in our name. Just providing a sense of healing, a sense of direction, and a sense of support to mothers. And sometimes the fathers are calling in for the mothers. So these families, they come in, they're seeking a form of refuge, and they're looking to have some form of direction. They're in a place of crisis or just being fearful and really don't know how to move ahead. So we provide counseling to give them the opportunity to talk through those emotions and, you know, give them encouragement, give them prayer while they're here. We give them a pregnancy test to confirm that they are, in fact, pregnant. And we get them set up for a free ultrasound. This is the best way that we can get them started so that they have a well-educated understanding on how to move ahead.
Yeah, they're better informed and hopefully have more of a sense of peace. Latrice, as science improves and viability, the time when survival outside the womb is possible, comes even earlier. What impact might that have on pregnancy resource centers, especially if Roe is overturned?
Honestly, we're going to see an increase of mothers, fathers, families calling in and needing help. We need to be prepared and ready to have the resources available, because not only do we provide those initial services, we are a center that helps mothers when they are in need of diapers, in need of clothes, in need of car seats. These are things that we're going to see an influx of. So if we have the time available that we can counsel the moms, we will have less people that are making decisions and moving out of a sense of urgency and fear, but they're moving in a sense of hope and a sense of knowing that they can grow from this experience, that it's not the end, that it is just the beginning.
So how might your team prepare for potential changes?
We are already making sure that we have more time slots available. We want to make sure that we have all of the resources available so that when the need arises, we can meet the need rather than having to turn someone away. But it's also being connected to programming that will help mothers and families not only at the initial point of finding out they're pregnant, but walking through life with them when it comes to raising their children.
With the current turmoil surrounding the leaked opinion, some advocates are calling on pregnancy centers to bolster security. Meanwhile, many women facing an unplanned pregnancy are more focused on other issues. What might those include?
The moms are going to be in need of safe housing. They need to know that programs are available to them. They need to know that if I call and I don't have something that I need for my children, will I be able to come to you? Will I be able to find those resources and not feel at a place of worry?
Yeah. Latrice, Philly is known for individuals not afraid to express opposing views. Are you and your staff seeing hostility since the leak of the Supreme Court opinion?
As of right now, no. But our center is set on an atmosphere of prayer. So So we're always praying here in the center and just making sure that we undergird ourselves with the word of God. Obviously, we know that it's a spiritual warfare, but we also know that it's a natural thing that people are just moving out of their emotions and feelings. So we just hope and then pray that God will continue to cover us.
How can we, wherever we live, show genuine support for these women or couples in our own local pregnancy care centers?
Come with a sense of understanding of where they are, but instead of sometimes we want them to see our view, we need to hear what they say and provide love, provide hope, pray with them, let them know that someone is here to be of support, someone's listening. Another way that we all can get involved is support your local center where you can actually support the mission, so that can be financial support. If you have used items that you're not using any longer, know that you can meet the need of a family. So we can do that on a daily basis, but we definitely need to continue to keep praying. We need to continue to keep being firm and standing in what God's word is saying and just advocating for life, because at the end of the day, it's not one life over the other. It's life on both ends. It's a mother and it's a child, and we want to advocate and pray for both lives.
That's Hope Pregnancy Center Director Latrice Booker. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure continues to rule the roost. We've got more sunshine ahead and warmth for today and tomorrow. But over the weekend, that high will collapse. Humidity will increase, a disturbance will approach, and the result will be some showers. In the meantime, for this afternoon, sunshine and a little bit of haze from some high-altitude smoke. It'll be warm. High temperatures mostly at or above 80, away from the lake, 60s, near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. And then for tonight, moonlit skies, low in the 50s, mild. Tomorrow, some sunshine, the 70s to near 80. Variably cloudy, more humid Saturday. A couple showers around. High temperatures in the 70s. Risk of some showers and rumbles for some on Sunday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally at noon, if you're a poet and you don't know it, or even if you do, today is your day.
Well, today is National Limerick Day, a day to celebrate the highly disciplined exercise in light verse that is one of the most popular fixed poetic forms. A limerick is a five-line poem that tells an engaging story or makes a humorous statement in a short and clever way. English poet Edward Lear made limericks popular with his nonsense style, often writing with made-up words. The origin of the poem's name is a bit disputed, but most people believe it comes from the Irish city of Limerick. So if you are a poet, even if you do not know it, give limericks a try before this day goes by, and all of your hard work will show it. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
Not too bad, Brian, showing off those literary skills. That's the world we live in. Thursday, the 12th of May. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.